call to order regular meeting of the Albert Lee City Council for February 24, 2020. Clerk, please call the roll.
Counselor Murray?
Here.
Counselor Bacon?
Here.
Counselor Howland?
Here.
Counselor Olson?
Here.
Counselor Rasmussen?
Here.
Counselor Brooks?
Here.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Here. We ask you please all stand, join us in pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm gonna have you all back tomorrow night, we're gonna practice that again together. So with that, I welcome everybody for tonight, thank you for coming out tonight. We first of all are gonna start with our ceremonial items, which we have none tonight, so we're gonna move to number four, our public forum. Remember that we have a lot of people here tonight, and we do have also a public hearing tonight on one of our road projects. So if you're here to talk about the Clark Street project, we'll have you speak at the during that time. But tonight we're gonna start out with Stephen Opergard.
What do you need to know?
Just your name.
Stephen Overgaard. As you all know, I was here for the public hearing. I had a few other thoughts, made a few notes, and would like to make a few corrections. I believe that there is a perception that Bancroft Township are the bad guys in this, but while the township would prefer that the Freeborn-Mauer Cooperative would choose a more suitable site for their building, we have accepted, as I said tonight, the fact that they've gone too far and they're committed to building on this site. What we as a township would like is an opportunity to work with Freeborn-Mauer to develop a plan for them so they could build within Bancroft Township so that they could be a part of Bancroft Township as opposed to being a 25-acre piece located of the city of Albert Lee located within Bancroft Township. So it doesn't mean that they could not develop the property. They certainly could, and we would work with them. Now, I understand that in order to do that, Freeborn-Mauer would have to withdraw their request petition for annexation. I believe that their petition for annexation comes solely for the desire of city water and sewer, which runs past the property, and with the current city policy, they would not be allowed to access those services without being annexed into the city. However, they would have an opportunity to still build. They would just need to build within the regulations of Bancroft Township, and they would need a well and a septic system if the city was unwilling to sell the services to them. Now, I want it clear too that I don't believe that any of the current city staff had anything to do with Freeborn-Mauer's decision to request annexation. I believe it probably had more to do with conversations with the prior city manager, but I don't know that they had all the information, that they had all the facts to make an informed decision with respect to that. There was a few things that were brought up by the city manager that I'd like to correct for the record. He stated that at the Bancroft Township January meeting that we made unreasonable requests with regard to, you know, what we wanted in exchange for an orderly annexation. To be honest, we made no request whatsoever. I know that I had indicated that we should get together and talk about this. I was pressed for some sort of answer on what we had in mind. I threw out a figure more just to show that we were willing to sit down and work with them, but apparently that was my unreasonable request. we made no request really whatsoever officially. He also stated that he thought the entire board was in agreement with this unreasonable request. It was not anything that we had discussed prior. Really, the whole, our knowledge of the city attending the meeting, because there had been no contact in the month prior, we had no idea that so many people were going to show up. We had an indication that city manager would be there. We had no indication that all the other people would be there. And he had indicated that at our private meeting that I had made the same unreasonable request, which is not correct. Whether it's allowed or not, I had come up with something that I thought was reasonable for all, but everything was, any ideas that I had were just summarily dismissed. That's all, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak in public forum? I don't have any other names listed, so. All right, we're going to close our public forum and we're going to move into consent and approval agenda. Tonight under 5A is approval of minutes of the February 10th, 2020 regular council meeting. 5B is the approval of minutes of the February 10th, 2020 work session. 5C is our license and permits. 5D is the resolution accepting donations presented to the City of Albert Lea. 5E is the resolution supporting the state investment in the corridor study to restore regional passenger rail service. 5F is the resolution approving the replacement of utility department skid loader. This is unit 787. 5G is the resolution approving plans and specs and ordering advertisement of bids for the 2020 neighborhood improvement overlay and James Avenue reconstruction project. This is job 2050. 5H is the resolution approving the drinking water revolving fund loan application. This is job 2056. And 5I is the motion approving the 2020-2021 City of Albert Lea pesticide application agreement. This is for job 2054. We also have a correction on the agenda for under 8B. We would be removing the Ann James Avenue reconstruction project. That should have been removed from that. It's only on the Clark Street plan. And then also we have an addition to the agenda for the an ordinance amending the chapter 22 article 2 for docs sections 42 through 31 through 42-38. This is will be under 8C. So I'm asking for approval of the consent agenda and the agenda as read.
Move to approve the consent agenda as read with the removal and the additions.
Okay, so we have a motion from Councilor Baker. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, Your Honor.
Second from Councilor Rasmussen. Any more discussion about that? Changes? Clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Murray.
Aye.
Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Howland.
Aye.
Councilor Olson.
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen.
Aye.
Councilor Brooks.
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving to number six, our petitions, requests, and communications. And tonight we're going to start out with Mr. Andy Henschler, administrator from the Watershed District. He's going to give some updates, and I'm sure Councilor Baker's got a handful of questions for you already.
Yes,
so thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. First of all, I'd like to say on behalf of the Shell Rock River Watershed District Board, they want to thank you as leaders for the continued support you give us moving forward with the Felton Lake Restoration Project and moving forward with phase three of the Felton Lake Restoration Project. So just to give you a little quick update, we did last year before session was out propose a $7.5 million bonding bill to look at phase three of the dredge project. Some of you might ask, what is phase three? Phase three is pretty much everything from the city beach over to the Felton Lake Dam, and then limited dredging up in the Bancroft Bay area. So one of the things that we've done is we've already started talking with legislators. I've been up to the Capitol twice, meeting with both Senator Sparks and Representative Bennett, along with some other members that will sit on the committee for the bonding bill. And what we're looking at here in the upcoming future is we have what we call a day at the Capitol. It's called MAUD, which is the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts Day at the Capitol, which falls on the exact same day as the League of Cities Day at the Capitol. So one of the requests I made was to have David ask the councilors in Vern to help us attend some of those meetings with some of the legislature. And I haven't got back to Todd, but I do have some meetings already set up with some of the key people, such as Representative Erdahl, who will chair the committee. So hopefully we can work through those matters and hopefully show a joint effort in talking to them about our priority, which is the bonding for the Fountain Lake project. One of the questions I get up there, when I get up there, is why is this so key now? And the reason is we want to keep this a seamless process because we'll get a much better price for it. If the dredging company that's here, who has given us the best price in our last two bid bid submittals, if they have to demob and remob, the cost of this is going to go up substantially. And to get all this work done to construct CDF Cell 4 or the Confined Disposal Facility Cell 4, it's going to take about a year, year and a half. So what we're really looking at is phase two is what's starting this year. Phase two will go until the end of 2021. And what we want to do then is go right back into 2022 and start dredging again that following season. And all would finish up in 2023. That would complete Fountain Lake restoration project and is a big step forward for clean water throughout our system. So just to give you a little bit more update on where we're at with the current dredging project. For those that don't know, phase two will start this spring. However, they have some touch-up work to do in Edgewater Bay, and then they will be moving into the Main Lake and Danes Bay. I believe they're going to start by Hatch Bridge and Danes Bay at the same time. They are actually bringing in another dredge that's a little bit smaller to go into Danes Bay. They have to redo the piping route, and they'll actually come back in through Bancroft Bay area. We will work with, of course, the County Sheriff's Department on all the safety signs and with the city engineer on what other safety signs we need. They plan on using the same staging area as they have now, so we won't need to look for additional staging areas. That's that. As far as the CDF, or the Confined Disposal Facility, cell number two, which was supposed to be completed last year, but with the wet weather we've had, will be finished up by June 1st. However, we do have some extra room in cell one that we plan on using right away at the start of the season. And then cell three, which will be constructed and done hopefully by the end of the year. So that's sort of an outlook on the dredging project itself. Some of the other things that we're working on pretty close with the city of Albert Lea is the TMDL and RAPS report. This is the total maximum daily load. And I don't know how much Steve has shared with you guys, but just know that we're working with you. We're in support of the city. I know both the city and the Watershed District have some concerns with some of the stuff in the report regarding the wastewater treatment plant. The board did sign off in a letter to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, basically stating the same issues that the city addressed. So again, we're working together with you guys on trying to make sure that it's a good outcome to that monitoring program that they established. Some of the other programming or planning pieces that we're working on a One Watershed, One Plan. Larry sits on the policy committee of that. Steve and Phil and Dalton, they sit on the technical advisory committee portion of the One Watershed, One Plan. And really what this is this is supposed to be the new way that they figure out where these clean water funds that the state's collecting through the sales tax will be distributed throughout the area for clean water. So it's important for us to get this completed. It basically is going to help us try to prioritize the projects, where those projects should be done, and whether they're projects within the city or within the county or are farm-related through SWCD. You know, that's really what we're looking for, is help them to help us narrow down those priority areas for some of the best management practices and hopefully help pay for some of those best management practices. Other things to note, working on our funding for grants this year. Right now, in the Lasard Sands Outdoor Heritage grant that we always apply for, in the queue right now is $2.4 million to the district. Now, this will be for projects, for some wetland restoration projects upstream of Fountain Lake, along with some land purchases to, again, hold some more water and create native habitat. This would be our largest allocation from Lasard Sands Council. So again, we're proud to say, or proud to bring in another $2.4 million. Again, this ain't set in stone until after session, after everybody votes on it. But again, it's something that we're working on. Some of the other projects, we are working with the city on Pioneer Park. I believe it's about 90% done. That was some shoreline restoration along Pioneer Park. We also dropped some trees in the water to create bass habitat for Jason. It's strictly for him to use only. But no, that's about 90% complete. They will have to come in this fall, or this spring, excuse me, to do some seeding and some cleanup work. Some of the riprap will probably be scattered that they got to clean up. So another great project that we're working on. Other than that, we're working on a couple projects outside of the city limits. We're working on Upper and Lower Twin, pump station, fish barrier, and stream restoration work. We're working on the new season, getting ready for the construction season of 2020. And we have a lot of projects in the queue. Most of those are restoration projects, but we assume we'll be working with the city again. I know we got some rain gardens that the city wants to look at. So hopefully we'll be looking at those with you guys as well. So with that, I don't want to take too much time, but if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Your Honor. Councilor Baker.
Actually, I don't have a lot of questions. I do have one. I wish you to elaborate a little bit on the One Watershed, One Plan. I know at the beginning of it, this whole process, it was talked about it was going to take maybe a couple years, year and a half to a couple years. They figured that maybe we could do it in a year and a half. Are we on schedule, or could you tell us where we're at? Could you kind of talk to everybody about that?
Well, and you know, from my comments are that no planning process should have to take that long to get complete, and I've always been trying to push this. And I think it's because this is a grant from Bowser to watershed districts, and because our watershed district boundary is all within Freeborn County, there's very few players. So the only players are the SWCD, the Shell Rock River Watershed District, the City of Elberly, and Freeborn County. So I think with that small amount of members that we can get this done much quicker than the 2 years that they originally stated. And I think we're actually ahead of schedule on that. And I think the more that we move forward, the faster we can get this done.
Thank you. Well, one other question. You mentioned Upper and Lower Twin. Can you kind of elaborate on what's going on there?
Yeah, so Upper Twin, if you don't know where these are at, they're by Twin Lakes, City of Twin Lakes, north and east of town, or west of town. Upper Twin is a lake that's basically at a set elevation, and there's no way to manipulate water levels to control rough fish or invasive species. So one of the projects through Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Fund was to put in a pump station so we can actually pump the lake down. So what we'd be doing is, actually the DNR would do it, it's a wildlife management lake, so the DNR controls the lake. But basically what we're doing is assisting in keeping good water quality coming from Upper Twin. It gets infested with carp quite frequently, and actually the carp disrupt the water, creating algae blooms and throwing a bunch of phosphorus in the system. So what we're actually looking at is allowing us to manipulate the water levels on that lake. Twin Lake, Lower Twin Lake, has a drawdown structure on it that's incorporated into the dam itself. And so the only way before was to control the water level on both lakes. Now we can control the water level on Upper Twin individually and don't have to control the water level at the same time on Lower Twin.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Any questions in the council? Councilor Howland?
A couple questions, Andy. You talked about the pipe for phase two. So you said that's going to run up the Brookside Channel
yes.
through Bancroft Bay?
Yes.
Okay. So that's boating. So will boats still be able to traverse through the channel?
Yes.
And how will that work? Will the pipes laid off to the side or?
We'll have the pipes laid off to the side, and then where it would cross, we'll sink it again like we did last year.
Okay. And then you said phase three. So is that, it would be completed if approved, it would be completed in 2023. So that's, it's a 2-year project, right? So that's 2022 and 2023, right?
Correct, yep.
And it's a portion of Bancroft Bay. The map that you have here, that the parts that are shaded in brown, is that the area that will be targeted for Bancroft?
Yes, kind of. It was just, this is more for just showing people the area. When you look at the west portion of Edgewater Bay, it's actually an access channel that will allow all the landowners on the south side mm-hmm. to access the main channel.
Of Bancroft.
Of Bancroft, yeah. Yes. There is also, if you look up at the total, way up at the top, there's a little brown spot where Bancroft dumps into Bancroft Bay.
Oh, right, yeah.
That is what that's one of the BMPs that we're building into the dredge project in certain areas. We deepen it to allow the sediment that does come in the future to settle out in. And with the permit that we have four of those areas. And at any time, the district can go in and clean out those areas. We already have that permit basically for as long as we live. That's all they say.
Couple more questions. The CDF that's currently being, it looks like it's being dug out right now, that's closest to the interstate. So is that number three?
That's cell two.
That's two, okay.
Yep.
So that one's not quite done yet?
Correct. That's the one they're hoping to have done by June 1st.
Okay. And then as far as the bonding request goes, Governor Walz did not have this project on his list, right?
Correct. He
so is that going to be a big hurdle for it to get through then?
It's always a hurdle, but if you remember our first bonding request, we were not on the governor's bonding bill either. So, you know, the way the district looks at it is just it's time to roll up our sleeves and get to work and, you know, really work with, you know, our local representatives and really push our local representatives and Sparks and Representative Bennett to help us get this moved forward. We have talked with other leaders up there at the legislature and have gotten really good feedback, really good questions. So we have a positive vibe going, so I just want to keep it that way.
I think it would be a real shame if we got 3/4 of the way through this project and weren't able to complete it because I think, you know, after it's been 2 years now of dredging, I think people are seeing the benefits of the dredging in Edgewater Bay and what it's done for fish habitat and for recreation and also just water quality in general, which is the overall thing. So it'd be a real shame if we had to pull the plug and didn't get to finish the project. So hopefully our folks up at the state legislature will listen.
Yes, and that's what we're hoping for as well.
There are questions in the council?
Your Honor.
Councilor Baker.
I do have a couple.
Just one more?
He keeps saying he's gonna go out and look at the CDF with me too, but he hasn't done that yet either.
And where, you know, my question pertains to Dane Bay.
Yes.
Obviously, you have a timeline when that's going to start.
I would assume that Hatch Bridge, you know, the section just south of Hatch Bridge there in Dane's Bay is probably going to start sometime first part of June.
Okay. And do you? I know you guys have figured it out where you're going to take, you know, how far from the shore can you dredge and how deep is it going to go there. Mm-hmm. And then you're also going to take, there's that sandbar that's kind of washed up over the years. If I remember right, you guys are going to dig a deep catch basin?
Yes, I believe, and don't hold me to it, but I believe it'll be about 12 feet deep through there, mm-hmm. all the way from where the creek dumps in all the way to the bridge, but with our setbacks, and I believe our setbacks around that whole bay is 30 feet.
So. Okay, and then it'll be accessible for future days when you may have to go in and clean it out. Is that correct?
Yep. Okay, that BMP will, yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. because I have a few people that have been kind of anxious down there, so I'm sure I'm going to get some questions. I appreciate it.
We will need city permission to get the backhoe down there to reach in there to pull it out, though, just so you know.
I'm sure you'll get it.
It's pretty amazing what the dredge did, like in particular what you're talking about. So very similar situation at where Wedge Creek comes out. And, I mean, that's a sandbar that's above water when the water's at normal level on Fountain Lake. And that dredge sucked that whole thing pretty much all out. And it's about 9-10 feet deep right there where that used to be a sandbar above water. So pretty amazing what that dredge can do in a quick amount of time.
Yep.
You got questions in the council? Well, it's obvious when there's 56 ice houses out on the lake fishing that it's created an opportunity for people to utilize the lake.
Absolutely.
It's its own little community over there in Edgewater Park, and I live over that way, so I've had a chance to really observe, and it's an amazing thing to watch. It's been fun to watch. I also want to just give you a thanks for the weekly updates. I greatly appreciate those. I know someone in the back of the room probably does a lot of work on those, and I appreciate all the information in there. I think it's really helped us be well-informed as far as the council. So when we're getting the small questions that we get, and so I really appreciate those and hope that you continue to bring those forward for us. So thank you very much for that.
I do have one more thing just to let y'all know. We did sell Big Al, so that money will go back into the project. So everything that all the dredge equipment that was purchased back in 2012 now has been sold, and we'll put that money back towards the project. So
how much did you get?
$300,000 for the dredge.
Did you?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it. All right, so with that, we're going to move on to number 7, our unfinished business, which we have tonight. So right into new business, number 8. 8A is the ordinance 20-228, annexing an unincorporated area and conferring jurisdictions over the said area to the Municipal Boundary Adjustments Office of the Administrative Hearings pursuant to the Minnesota Statute 414.033. This is our first reading.
On August 23rd, 2019, Freeborn Mower Cooperative Services submitted a petition for annexation to the city of Albert Lea. This annexation is necessary for development of a 97,000 square foot commercial facility, in addition to connecting city water and sewer services. This ordinance has been prepared, setting forth the terms and conditions of annexation. Staff recommends approval.
Council?
Move to approve, Your Honor.
Motion from Councilor Baker. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, Your Honor.
Second from Councilor Olson. Any discussion on the council? I'd like to inform the public, we did have a public hearing earlier today, which we did have one comment, and at that point, the council did take that. So I just want to know if there was a public hearing to hear any concerns about this annexation. Okay. All right, seeing none, clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Baker?
Aye.
Councilor Howland?
Aye.
Councilor Olson?
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilor Brooks?
Aye.
Councilor Murray?
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Aye. Motion carries. It'll bring us to 8B, which is the resolution and public hearing ordering the improvement and preparation of plans for the Clark Street project. So we're going to open up our public hearing with the staff report.
The public hearing is being held for public input on Clark Street, Ermina Avenue to First Avenue reconstruction project, city job number 2051. The proposed project includes the removal of existing concrete and overlaid concrete pavements, repairs to existing utility infrastructure, storm drainage improvements, sidewalk replacement, and reconstruction of the roadway to meet state aid, federal aid standards from First Avenue to Ermina Avenue. The new street is proposed to be constructed using bituminous pavement. The proposed improvements include reconstructing the existing roadway to meet municipal state aid standards. The sidewalk along both sides of the street is proposed to be replaced as part of this project. The proposed utility improvements include the replacement of 1,002 feet of water main and 680 feet of storm sewer. The sanitary sewer was televised by the City Utilities Department and was found to be in relatively good condition given its age, with the exception of approximately 90 feet from North Ermina Avenue to the east. Engineering would replace this section using open trenching methods and slip line the remainder using the cured in place pipe or CPP methods. Engineering has proposed to change the existing street widths along this corridor. The street is currently a 45 foot wide roadway with parallel parking on both sides. Engineering proposes to narrow the street to 40 feet with the entire project length. This will meet state aid standards while maintaining parking on both sides, as well as saving on construction costs while providing a wider boulevard. Engineering evaluated the corridor for both the addition of bike lanes and or widening one of the sidewalks into a 10-foot wide shared user path. There is an inadequate right-of-way to expand either sidewalk into a 10-foot shared user path. Stormwater opportunities were also evaluated. Freeborn County currently owns the land occupied by the abandoned railway that crosses Clark Street in the middle of the project area, with future plans to construct a shared user path that would connect the Blazing Star Trail and continue on to the city of Heartland, connecting points in between. Installation of bike lanes would require either widening the street or eliminating parking on one or both sides of the street. Engineering feels that bicyclists will be adequately served by the sidewalk provided and or the on-street space available to bicycles, therefore is not recommending bike lanes with this project. Assessments will be levied to the benefiting property based on the construction of a 33-foot face-to-face residential street with 4 inches of bituminous over 8 inches of aggregate base. The proposed preliminary assessment rate for this project is $132.96 per square foot, or excuse me, per foot. 25% of the sidewalk costs will also be assessed to the properties on the north side of the road. The proposed assessment rate for the sidewalk is $1.83 per square foot. There are 23 properties proposed to be assessed as part of this project. A preliminary assessment roll is attached to this report. Following the assessment policy, the assessments will be over 10 years. The interest rate will be based on bonding in 2020. The estimated project cost is $1,187,691.26 and would be paid for with assessments, municipal state aid funds, and water and sewer funds. A neighborhood meeting was held on February 13th, 2020 to discuss the project with affected residents. See attached resolution.
Okay. Any questions on the council? All right, seeing none. So just so everybody knows, this is not an assessment hearing on this project. It is just order the improvements and preparation of the plans. We will take concerns about assessments. We sure will not be answering any of those questions about assessments tonight on this project. So for the first time, would anybody in the community like to speak in regards to the ordering improvements and preparation of plans for a Clark Street project? So if you want to, just come forward. All I need to have is your name. That's it. Good evening.
Just Paul Nielsen. I live at 819 West Clark, and when I got this in the mail, I was very upset. My assessment is $14,000. It's unbelievable, along with my 35% increase in my taxes. I've been there 29 years. I have absolutely no problem with that road. I talked to Larry about it, and I have no issues with that road. He said that they've had several complaints. Well, there's other roads to drive on if you don't like that one. You know, like I said, I've been there 29 years. I have absolutely no, I have no sewer issues. I have nothing, no water issues, nothing. You know, and the shortening of it, you know, 4 feet, they said, well, it's only 2 feet on each side. Well, with the snow that we got now, I went down that, and with cars parked on both sides, you can barely get two cars down. You can't hardly get one car through there. And then they want to shorten it 2 feet on each side. Then you add the snow again, so it's going to be worse. I really don't think this needs to be done. There's other roads that need to be done before this one.
Thank you. For the second time, would anybody like to speak? Just need your name.
Steve Gotland. I live at 829 West Clark Street, and I agree with him. We've been there 32 years, no problem with sewer, the road, the sidewalks. The sidewalk by our house is like brand new. So I don't see what the problem is with the sewers or anything there. And I was the one who brought this up in the first place, that this guy has to be done, because I don't see it myself. Okay. But I totally agree with him too.
All right, thank you. Thanks. The third and final time, would anybody like to speak in regards to the ordering improvements and preparation of plans for the Clark Street project, which is job 2051? Okay, we're going to close our public hearing. We're open up to the council.
Your Honor, move to approve.
Okay. So a motion from Councilor Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Councilor Howland. All right, any discussion in the council?
Yes, Your Honor. I just want to bring this up, too. I talked to Mrs. Colleen Nelson. I've been on the phone with her a couple, two, three times in the last week and a half. And she's also concerned about the assessments. And having said that, I'm going to look as we get closer to this. I'm voting to approve this project, but as we get closer to the assessments, I'm going to request that instead of 10 years, that we move the assessments to a 15-year, to just to stretch them out a little bit longer and to help, you know, some of the people with the cost of the road. I understand that this is it's an expensive road, but then again, it isn't. You know, it's a small area. I've had complaints about it. I know Councilor Hollins had people complain to him about it. I know that there are other people that drive that street a lot. I guess we could look at this and say, well, we can go elsewhere, but this has been on the CMP for a while, and it's always been shoved back. And so I think it's something we should do. It was 2015 where we did the reconstruction from First Lutheran Church to Amina, and I think it was 2009 or 2010, somewhere in that area, where we did the overlay from Highway 13 to First Avenue. This is the only section in that area that hasn't been done. There's a there's the issue with where the railroad bed went through, and the road is there's like a bump, and that area needs to be dealt with. But there again, I'm going to recommend that we move out the assessments to more than 10 years when it comes.
All right, thank you. Anybody else in the council?
Your Honor.
Councilor Holland.
A question for city staff or city engineer. How old is that? It's a concrete road, correct? And how old is it?
It is a concrete road with an overlay on it. It was put in 1961 and 1964, and a portion of it was just overlaid in 1987. And the utilities are between 1911 and 1951.
So the overlay's 33 years it's been since an overlay. And typically when we do these overlays, it's like every 20 years. So, and the concrete itself is whatever, 40 or 50 years old, 60 years old. Question about the width of the road. So Clark Street, the other portions that Councilor Baker was talking about that go from east of there, east of First and west of Ermina, are those 40 feet in width?
City Engineer, Mr. Yonke.
The piece to the west is actually, I don't have that information in front of me, but the piece to the west is slightly narrower than this section, and the piece to the east, I would have to look, but I believe it is still 44 feet wide east of it.
I guess I would just question why we do have to narrow that to 40 feet if Clark Street to the east is 44 and what it is now. What's the reasoning behind narrowing it? And still allowing parallel parking on both sides still? Because I do agree with the gentleman that talked about, you know, especially with during the winter months, that's going to make that pretty narrow right there.
Really, we've came to the conclusion, almost the standard in the state is a 40-foot wide roadway. That gives you two 12-foot driving lanes and two 8-foot wide parking lanes. It's really what state, all of our state aid funds are based on, and it's what like Lakeview Boulevard, any of the roads we've did, Margaretha, Lakeview Boulevard, any of the city streets in the last 15 years, we've narrowed them down to that 40 feet just because we found really we had too much pavement for what we were doing. And what we're hoping is, you know, by taking that 2 feet away on each side, we will have more room for putting storage, so it's not all sitting on the sidewalk, and it gives us more room to put that. But we found that the 40-foot wide gives adequate parking and driving lanes.
Yeah. Councilor Baker.
I'd like to ask the city engineer a question. With that funding, state aid funding, if you were not to go to the 40-foot wide and keep it at 44, would that jeopardize the funding, or would you still be able to get it, or not?
City Engineer Vishyaki.
So the state aid funds are based on a 40-foot wide street, so we would get the funding for a 40-foot wide street, but yeah, that additional 4 feet wouldn't get the funding.
And can you give me an idea how much the state aid funds are toward this street project?
So the total project is $1,187,691. We're proposing to use $411,000. I'm rounding this up somewhat, but $411,000 of state aid funds. And there's a large portion, $134,000 of sanitary sewer funds, $224,000 of water funds, $189,000 of assessable funds, general assessment, and then we'd have $220,000 of bonding for this project.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions of council?
Just one more.
Councilor Holland?
Just one more comment. You know, I can appreciate, and I know we're not talking about assessments tonight, and I can appreciate that is a big assessment that Mr. Nielsen was talking about. But, you know, these total reconstructions, they typically are for, and we've had them, we had Sunset here just a year or two ago, we had Park, this particular stretch, like Councilor Baker said, I've had folks that have called me about it, it's not even in my ward. It's a pretty rough stretch of road, and I can understand if you can say, well, don't drive on it if you don't like it, but it definitely needs repair, and when it comes to assessment time, you can certainly dispute that there's a route to do that. So,
thank you. Councilor Brooks.
One question. The gentleman mentioned the sidewalk. I was following along as city manager read that. Is the whole sidewalk being replaced, or is there segments where you felt it was good and it stays the same?
City Engineer, Mr. Yonke.
We are proposing to replace the whole sidewalk. There are some sections in there that were put in, you know, that are still under warranty. So there are some sections right now. The proposed assessment shows it all being assessed, but there are some pieces that we'll be looking at that we'll be taking out of the assessments at the final assessment.
So it could be,
but we would be replacing them.
Could be a portion, maybe. Then, as somebody mentions, that will be getting taken out later.
Yes, we went out there twice in the last 2 weeks to look at that, and we just haven't been able to see with the snow.
Okay, thank you. Questions on the council?
I do have another
Councilor
question.
Councilor Baker.
On the bottom where it says the City of Elberly, the railroad property, that's got an assessment of $56,000. When the railroad was on that, is that would have been their portion of paying it for the assessment? Do I understand that correctly?
It would have been, but the railroad wouldn't have paid it. But it would have been their portion, but the railroad wouldn't have paid the assessment.
Okay, because they're excluded. Is that the thing?
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions? Eric, we have a motion and a second. So, clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Howland.
Aye.
Councilor Olson.
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen.
Aye.
Councilor Brooks.
Aye.
Councilor Murray.
Aye.
Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen.
Aye. Motion carries. Bring us to 8C, which is an ordinance amending Chapter 42, Article 2 for docks. This is Sections 42-31 through 42-38.
The city seeks to amend the dock ordinance. The city enacted the dock ordinance to regulate the use and placement of docks, moorings, and other fixed or floating structures in public waters in order to promote the full use, safety, and enjoyment of Fountain Lake. The amendment provides enhanced definitions and clarifies the process for issuing dock permits to both property owners abutting the lakeshore and community members at large. Property owners with title to property abutting the lakeshore, also known as riparian property owners, will have the right of first refusal for the dock space tied to riparian properties. Property owners with title to multiple riparian properties may be issued one dock per riparian property, whereas members of the same household and or owners of the same property will be issued only one permit. All permit holders from the preceding year may renew their dock permits between March 1 and April 1. All remaining dock permits and or dock permits that were not timely renewed will be made available to the community starting on April 16th at 6 a.m. No applications for dock permits will be accepted between April 2nd and April 15th. Applications and renewals for dock permits must be submitted to the Recreation Office during the times provided and shall be accompanied by the current fee schedule and a certificate of insurance naming the city as an additional insured and demonstrating a policy of maximum liability pursuant to Minnesota Statute 466.04. Staff recommends approval.
Okay. Council?
I have a question first. Did you say this was a... Will this be brought up again? Was this the first reading of this or something?
No, this is this is actually moving forward with this. Yep.
This is the first reading.
We're going to have the first reading? Okay. I guess I'm wrong.
So, Your Honor?
Yes.
So, we're going to have time to look at this and...
Yep.
Okay, so this isn't going to... Okay, because I was going to ask to have it removed if this was going to be tabled so we could go through it and any questions or anything that we have, we can direct them toward the city attorney.
Okay. So this is the first reading. We're still looking for a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion from Councilor Murray. Do we have a second?
A second, Your Honor.
Second from Councilor Rasmussen. Any more discussion?
I would like to say, though, that there Councilor are
Brooks.
Some, there are, I just kind of glanced at it, and there are some questions I still have. I had a chance to meet with Kelly and David a couple of days ago, but there's still some other questions I have on it. So I'm gonna go along with the first reading, but there are things on there that I would have to say no if I can't get some better clarification on.
Okay. So. Sounds good, thank you. All right, clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Olson.
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen.
Aye.
Councilor Brooks.
Aye.
Councilor Murray.
Aye.
Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Howland.
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen.
Aye. Motion carries. Bring us to our mayor and council boards and start with Ward 1. Councilor Murray.
Your Honor, I attended the Bridge Avenue meeting a couple weeks ago, which was very well attended. And then also this Thursday, just reminding people that Philip Johnson from Alita will be presenting the strategic plan. I believe that is out at Wedgewood at 6 o'clock. The public is invited. This is a big deal that the city and the county and the Alita and the chamber have all been working together over the past several months to work on a strategic vision for this community. So come and give us your input and look and see what's been put together and what we can all do as a community to make this a better place for all of us to live. With that, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Ward 2, Councilor Baker.
Your Honor, I have no award items at this moment, but I did have a Board of Appeals meeting last Wednesday. It was for a variance request. It was pretty simple, and you know, variances are usually asked when the property that the people reside on are looking to do some improvements and stuff to their house, and for whatever reason, whether it's an odd shaped lot or there are other issues that are on the lot that are no fault of the homeowner, it's looked at by the Board of Appeals, and whether it's voted on or voted for, this one was approved. And we do have another one here in another month. This has been three of them in the last three and a half months, which is highly unusual. Normally, they usually get one or two a year, so it's been kind of busy. I have a Planning Commission meeting coming up, and I have a Heritage Preservation Commission meeting coming up, and I also had a meeting, One Watershed, One Plan, and Andy spoke to that briefly about it, and basically we just met, and as we go through this plan, we're going through the things that we're trying to get done on that plan, and we have some discussion, and it's pretty open and pretty honest, and it's moving forward pretty good. I don't know, I think we're probably looking at another one in about a month or so. And so when we have that, I will bring back further comments as to where we're headed with that. But so far, it's moving pretty smoothly.
Thank you. Ward 3, Councilor Howland.
I attended the Park and Rec Board meeting last week. Quite a few things discussed and happening. They welcomed two new board members and then also named a new chair of the board, Steve Ball. And also the board voted to move their meetings now. The Park and Rec meetings are moving from Tuesdays to the third Monday of every month at 5:45 to accommodate the board members so we can get some better attendance. Also on the docket, there was Phil Wacholtz was there to talk about the Snyder Fields options. And then also there was a presentation on a potential for fundraising by the youth softball and baseball leagues in town to possibly raise some money for a project to either renovate or build elsewhere a new complex. And also there may be a possibility of some funds that have been raised for new soccer fields to be included in this as well, but still very preliminary when it comes to those. And then also one other thing, they took a look at, there's a platform deck that I wasn't even aware was out there. It's out at Bancroft Park, and it is part of the trail that's out there, I guess, and it overlooks Bancroft Bay, and it is in disrepair, and so there was some discussion on whether to raise it or fix it. So I don't think a decision was made at the board, but there was some conversations about it, but wasn't even aware that was out there. And I think the switch party went on at the library, is that right, Jerry?
Yeah, very happy to say that about 15 people attended our Nintendo Switch event on Thursday night. Two rooms, this one and the one in the computer lab. Very successful.
Great. So I think rec department is looking at doing some more esports types events in the future, and this was kind of step one and to see how the turnout was, and hopefully they'll go and get some PS4s and we can do some PlayStations, and maybe I can play Madden. That's it, Your Honor.
And thank you. Well, I got a chance to play, and I was miserable, so. All right, with that, Ward 4, Councilor Olson.
Yes, have no meetings to report on. Just over the last couple weeks, I've been getting several emails and phone calls on concerns and not concerns from the Bridge Avenue Corridor project, so I'll pass those along to the county commissioner after I get some more feedback.
Thank you. Ward 5, Councilor Rasmussen.
Got a couple of ward items I worked with city staff on. Other than that, I didn't have any meetings.
Thank you. Ward 6, Councilor Brooks.
No committee items. ward items, I need to meet with Dave and our city manager, David, and Wayne from inspections, if I could get something set up on that. And then also I had a, as I mentioned earlier, I had a meeting with the city manager and Kelly, the city attorney, and on an issue, and I would like to say on, I know that day, I think we probably had about 2 hours in there, if not maybe a little more, and it was something that I guess As it was said at the end, maybe I need to agree to disagree, but I wanted Kelly to know basically that I appreciated her time that day because I probably took up too much time, but I just wanted her to know that it was appreciative of me, even though I didn't really see eye to eye on it, but I appreciate the fact she gave me so much time on it, and I just wanted to let her know that it was, I was appreciative of that. So that's all I got.
All right, thank you. A couple things tonight. First of all, I had over the last week got a chance to greet and meet the commander of the American Legion from the National Commander of the American Legion. What a great event the local Legion put on. We had a little snowstorm that night, so I think attendance was challenged a little bit, but it was a great event. It was fun to meet Bill Oxford and visit a little bit with him and some of the ideas that he has for the American Legion moving forward. It was a really fun event. And also, I just wanted to once again keep putting my plug in for the census. It's coming. You're starting to hear more on the TV about the census coming up, but this once again will be an important thing for us as a community. So meet, greet, and talk to your neighbors and friends and make sure that they are filling out their census forms. We really need this. This is an important thing for funding for not only the city of Albert Lea, but also for the state of Minnesota. And our representation moving forward to the national level is in jeopardy of possibly losing a representative. So it's important that we get everybody counted. So please continue to be aware of that. It will be coming up pretty soon. So with that, we'll move on to number 10, our city manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Just another plug for Thursday's event at Wedgwood Cove. ALETA will be putting on their strategic plan, and it encompasses a wide range of stakeholders. So if you're curious or just want to learn more about how the city is going to move forward in the next year and beyond, it would be a nice event for you to attend. Moving forward, the Public Works Director, Stephen Yonke, and I will be attending a meeting up in St. Paul with MnDOT and our local representatives and officials from the Minnesota Management and Budget Department to talk about our East Main Street flooding issue and how we can get those bond funds sequestered and coming out of the right coffers. And that will probably occur within the next week to 10 days. Also in that vein, 2020 Legislative Day at the Capitol will be coming up, I believe, March 11th. There'll be a contingent of city officials to travel to that event and lobby our state senators for bonding request money and address issues that affect us locally here in Albert Lea. Usually that's a very well-represented day, and I believe Councilman Baker, the mayor, and myself will be attending that event as well. Other than that, I don't have anything further, sir.
All right, thank you. So we'll move to number 11, approval of claims. 11A is the resolution approving claims.
Claims over $25,000, $63,107.39 to Ferguson Enterprise Incorporated for replacement water meters, $102,708 to the Minnesota Public Facilities Authority for a loan payment. This is on prepaid assessments. $105,708 to Chris Steele Truck Equipment for a 2020 International Truck Body for the Street Department. And $321,814 from Moe's Contracting Incorporated Fire Station Pay Application Number 13.
Okay, Council.
Move to approve, Your Honor.
A motion for Councilor Howland. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Councilor Brooks. Any more discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Rasmussen.
Aye.
Councilor Brooks.
Aye.
Councilor Murray.
Aye.
Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Howland.
Aye.
Councilor Olson.
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen.
Aye. Motion carries. Before I ask for adjournment, just so everybody knows, if you don't plug an iPad in, it does not work. So the paper never fails you. So with that, looking for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
A motion for Councilor Murray. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Councilor Olson. Clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Brooks.
Aye.
Councilor Murray.
Aye.
Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Howland.
Aye.
Councilor Olson.
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen.
Aye. Motion carries. We're now adjourned.